This morning, I'm continuing a series on killing Goliath and overcoming and defeating life's giants. And like I've been doing the last week and this week and next week, it'll be two different messages. This morning is there's power in your testimony. There is power in your testimony. We'll be talking about that specific truth in your story, in my story, in all of our story together. And we'll be looking at it from the life of David and how did David defeat a giant. We'll be talking about that. Before I do, let me read something humorous. An older couple were lying in bed together one night. The husband was falling asleep, but the wife was in a romantic mood and wanted to talk. She said, "You used to hold my hand when we were courting." Wearily, he reached across, held her hand for a second, then tried to go back to sleep. A few minutes later, she said, "Then you used to kiss me." Mildly irritated, he reached across, gave her a peck on the cheek, and settled down to sleep. 30 seconds later, "Then you used to bite my neck." Angrily, he threw back the bedclothes and got out of bed. "Where are you going?" she asked. "To get my teeth." First Samuel chapter 17. We'll be just kind of, I hate to skip over Wednesday night. We spoke about it too. And just really went after some things Wednesday. But I hate to give a summation of all we've done, but you can get all these messages free on Facebook on our church app. Verse 31. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, so when you talk differently, you get noticed. So when your vocabulary is different than other people, you stand out. So when you talk victorious in a culture that has accepted defeat as normal, you stand out. When you have hope, when other people have lost hope, you stand out. When you have faith that God is still God and can be God and can do anything, when other people have lost faith, you stand out. So his vocabulary now has brought him into the presence of Saul again. And Saul sent for him. So they want to interview and investigate, interrogate. Why is this person talking like David came to Saul and said, "Let no man's heart fail because of Goliath. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." So what David said there was a summation of what had happened. Their hearts had failed because Goliath was minimally 9'9" tall, 9 feet, 9 inches tall, up to 11 feet, depending on the cubit of how big a man's hand was in that season. So Goliath is this extreme, he's twice as tall as a normal man, maybe 400, 500 pounds, and it's all muscle. It's just incredible who he is. And so David said, "Don't let anyone else live in fearfulness, live in anxiety, live in defeat because of this person. I'll go and fight him." Because David knew this wasn't a battle between two men. It was a battle between two kingdoms. It was a battle between heaven and hell, between light and darkness, between God and Satan. David knew. David never lost a battle because he never engaged in a fight God wasn't already in. That's how you cheat your way to victory. When God tells you he's going to win the battle, okay, I'll fight that one. I'll get in that one. He always inquired of the Lord, if you follow his story. He prayed about everything and only did what he was led to do. And when he did that, he never experienced the overwhelming burden of defeat. So he was just spectacularly successful because he never picked the wrong fight. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You can't do this, young man. You're a youth." So he's a teenager, probably a mid or young teenager. "And this Goliath was a man of war from his youth. So by the time Goliath was your age, he was already an accomplished warrior. And so that was the fact. So David's young. But please get this. God doesn't care how old or young you are. God will use you if you have faith. So don't let, remember Paul told Timothy, don't let anyone despise your youthfulness. You can be used of God at any age of life. So Saul says he's giving him kind of the factual realities, but here's David's answer. David said to him, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose up against me, I caught it by its beard, struck it, and killed it. So David says, you don't understand. In my previous job, but see David now is he's the armor bearer of Saul. He got there because he's a worshiper, and Saul's oppressed by demonic powers, and David was a skilled worshiper. So David was an anointed worshiper before he was an accomplished warrior. And when David would play his instruments, the evil spirit would leave him. So worship delivers people. Worship heals people. Worship drives away demonic powers. And so that's his new job. But David said, in my last job, working for my father, caring for the sheep, twice, he said, I had these encounters, lion and a bear. And here's what he said now. God used me to rescue a lamb from the mouth of a lion, from the mouth of a bear. And he said, it makes sense to me, this next verse. Your servants killed both a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, see, something's happening, because your testimony builds faith in your heart when you share it. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So David used his testimony. There is power in your testimony. There's power to overcome today's struggles by reminding yourself of the times God's already helped you. When we share the testimony of what God's done for us, the very same grace and anointing that helped and healed us in the past becomes activated and available to us in this moment and to those that hear us. Your testimony is a weapon to overcome the enemy. When you share your testimony, it builds faith in everyone, including yourself, who hears you. So David starts preaching about what God, everyone here that knows Christ has a testimony. So not only of finding Christ, but then of the specific times God has helped you in your walk with Christ. So we all have a testimony. Say this out loud. I have a testimony. So there's power in your story. And your story is going to be the key that unlocks someone else's heart to receive Christ or to receive help. So when we don't share our story, we rob someone from salvation or deliverance or healing or help. So your testimony, people say, well, I really want God to visit our church. Well, maybe he has, and he started with someone, and their task is to tell what God did for them to the rest of us. And as they do, that there comes a divine contagion, and we all begin to experience what that person got from God. So the same thing that helped you get that testimony becomes available to those that hear your testimony. So he's preaching to a reluctant. So Saul he's not condescending, but he says, David, you're not the right guy. You're just a kid. He's a warrior. Well, I appreciate your enthusiasm. And David preached so powerfully, he convinced the greatest skeptic in Israel that he could do it, King Saul. He convinced them. And you can see the leaping forward when he said that God delivered me from a lion and a bear. And then he said, now God's going to deliver me from this Philistine. He connected the dots. Another way that look at it is this, that if God's helped you in one part of your life, he's going to help you in the other parts of your life. So you can leverage a miracle from, well, if God healed you physically or helped you financially or did something else, That yours, that grace that helped you, you can leverage it. Well, if God helped me there, he's going to help my kids get delivered. He's going to help my marriage be healed. He's going to help my business. So you can translate them, move them into the different arenas of your story. So that David leveraged his past into the miracle of his destiny because he had a testimony. So sometimes when we feel ill-prepared, we feel unready, we feel overwhelmed by life's current realities, it's because we have forgotten what God's done for us. So remind yourself of what the Lord has done for you. Remind yourself of all he's brought you through. So the devil will try to just make you so aware of what's happening right now. But remind yourself of that thing God did for you, when he helped you, when he healed you, when he brought you through, when he safeguarded your journey, when he helped your family. Remind yourself and start talking about it. And when you talk about it, your own faith rises. And people that hear you, their faith will rise. And the grace that helped you in the past becomes activated in the present through your testimony. There is power in your testimony. There is power to help. The Bible says this in Revelation chapter 12, and they, this is a last day church, and they, the last day church, overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death, but by being selfless, those three things. But he said this, they overcame because they knew the power of the blood, and they knew the power of testimony. Testimony. When I was a kid, I used to not like testimony night. Because it would be Sunday nights and the same people get up. I just want to thank the Lord that in 1942, Jesus, and I used to not understand it, but now I get it. That when we talk about what God's done for us, the same thing that gave us that testimony, someone needs to hear your testimony. Never get tired of sharing your testimony. Never get tired. When I travel the world, I always begin every conference by sharing my testimony. Why? Because it's my story and there's power in it. And people just talk, they respond to me so wonderfully because they say, man, if God did that for you, Pastor, he can do that for me. If God delivered you from heartache and depression, he can help me too. And so but there's power. Your testimony is a weapon to overcome the enemy. So you're weaponized right now to overcome the enemy by the power of your testimony. Nothing that you're going through, nothing that you've been through, nothing that you're experiencing is beyond the reach of God to help you. God's going to do it. If God did it before, he'll do it again. Amen. God, help us to become so confident in our testimony that we're talking about you all the time. That just like David said, listen, in my past job, I was a shepherd. And I experienced some difficulties there. And when I did, God helped me deliver the innocent lamb from the lion's jaws. And if God helped me in that part of my life, why can't God help me with this giant? There's no difference, David said. He delivered me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear. He delivered me from the paw of the giant, the hand of the giant. David connected the dots and then stepped into the leveraged place of a platform of influence by his own testimony. Your testimony can take you places that you're longing to go. Your testimony can give you victories you're longing to have. Your testimonies can give you breakthroughs that you're believing God to give you. Use your testimony. Tell your neighbor and say, use your testimony. It heals our souls to see other people help through our story. One of the really rewarding things of testimony is this. When you see someone benefiting, when you tell your story to them, and you see their life touched by it, it helps heal you for the arduous and injurious part of your journey. And you think, well, you know what? God took that bad thing and he's doing something good with it. God made something bad become something good. That's how good God is. Amen? Next verse, Revelation 19. I fell at his feet to worship him. He said to me, see that you don't do that. The angel says, don't worship me, man. I'm your fellow servant and of the brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Everybody shout, worship God. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, this is a big thing. So there's all kinds of things there. So wherever Jesus is moving, there's a prophetic grace there. Wherever prophecy is flowing, Jesus is moving. Okay? So they're both equally, they're both united. But here's what he said. Here's the connectedness to that. That when we share our testimony, the powerful creative aspect of that grace that gave us the testimony becomes animated again. When you share how God healed you, the anointing that healed you bubbles up again. So here's what happens. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians. Paul said, the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our trouble, so we can comfort those who go through any trouble with the same comfort God's given us. Here's what Paul said. I've been through hardships, and in those hardships, God met me. And when God met me, he comforted me with a specific grace. Then the hardship left, but the grace stayed. And now I come out of it with a new anointing. I come out of it with a superior weaponry in the Spirit. And now I can help people by the story of my own journey. So I went through something tough. God met me, helped me, healed me. And now I can help people who are going through something tough. So God uses every season of our life. And there's no wasted tears. There's no wasted heartache. There's no wasted difficulty. And no matter what you've been through or are going through, God's going to help you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to comfort you and heal you. And you're going to have a grace. When the pain leaves, the power stays. When the adversity leaves, the anointing stays. And then Paul said, that's how I get ammunition to flow in this ministry of healing and help and grace to others by this work. This is a great story in Acts chapter 19. It's one of my favorite stories. What happened in the story with David here, as David, David's about to go out, and let me finish reading it to you. Saul said this, go and the Lord be with you, verse 38 of 1 Samuel 17. Then Saul clothed David with his armor, put a bronze helmet on his head, and clothed him with his coat of mail. And David fastened his sword to the armor and tried to walk, but he could not because he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I've not tested them. Now, we think Saul was like 6'5". Saul was really tall at that time. He was taller than all the men of Israel. And so here's a grown man giving a young teenager this heavy armor, and it doesn't fit him because it's not true to him. And so there's something here because it's something powerful. Just a couple points I want to touch on before I kind of move on. There's no power in a secondhand revelation of God. That's what religion does. So what religion does, it tries to give you someone else's victory, someone else's revelation, and say, just accept this. But every generation needs a fresh revelation of the goodness and glory of God. So David said, don't take my word for it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Have your own taste. Have your own. The woman at the well, remember, she ran back and told the city, come and see a man who told me all things I've ever done. The whole city comes up there, and afterwards they all believe, and some said, the Bible says, some believe because of her word, her testimony. But others believe because they said, we've seen for ourselves who he is. Don't take my word for it. Try Jesus on your own. Experience the glories of his goodness. Experience his unfailing love. Man, oh man, you'll be sold. He will not fail you. And so this is a big thing because we want to make sure we don't fall into the trap. Saul's armor is a picture of trying to defeat the enemy through someone else's revelation and experience. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So in Acts chapter 19... the Bible says this, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you, we cast you out by Jesus whom Paul preaches. There were seven sons of Sceva, the Jewish chief priest. So seven is the number of perfection. Sceva is the highest in the religious order, the chief priest in the current religious order. So this represents the pinnacle of lifeless, powerless religion. And so they said now, they did that to an evil spirit, and the evil spirit said back to them, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? You have to answer life back when it says, who are you? Then the man whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so they fled of the house naked and wounded. So they had no authority because they were using Paul's revelation to try to defeat a demonic power. So it doesn't work if you don't believe it. If it's not real to you, it does not have lasting spiritual authority. So that's the danger. Four things happen when we don't know who we are. We're defeated, we're controlled, we're stripped, we're traumatized. Those four things, I like to talk about them because that's the whole world that doesn't know who they are. Who are you? When we don't know who we are, the enemy defeats us, he controls us, he strips us of our dignity and identity, he traumatizes us, he makes us into someone who we never wanted to be. But in the kingdom of God, what does God do? He heals us. He gives us our identity. He gives us authority. He shows us who we are. And then we change the world. They said, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. That doesn't work. But listen, the weakest Christian in the world has authority over the strongest demon in the world. Why? Because they are born again. And when you're born again, you get all the rights of the kingdom. Jesus said, go get them, fellas. Go show the devils what's up and go change the world. And so God says to you, you're a history maker. You're a giant slayer. You can do this. God's with you. God's going to use you. You're a difference maker. God's going to use you to reshape how things look in this generation. God's going to use you to drive out of your family oppressive agents of heartache. No matter how big the giant in front of you may be, the God inside of you will always be bigger. You're a curse-breaking, world-shaking, giant-slaying, history-making conqueror for Christ. That's who you are. So David said, thanks for trying to help me. So this is an important thing. I don't ever want to sound cruel when I say these things, but don't ever make life decisions from the counsel of someone who's not done what you're trying to do. Don't let someone who's not done it tell you how you're doing it wrong. I receive input from anybody, everybody. My biggest critics are my own kids who tell me how to dress and everything. Hairstyles, everything. I'm all in on everybody. But when someone comes in who's never, like, done church stuff, say, oh, you need to change all these things. Really? Well, just go build a great church, then I'll listen to you. But don't tell me this is really hard stuff. This is hard to do what we're doing by God's grace. And so whatever it is in life you're doing, don't wear someone else's clothes and expect to have your own victory. Don't let people tell you how to do your family. Let God, let the Word, the Holy Spirit. People will mess you up. People will mess. Well, I just think you ought to do this. You ought to show your husband what's up. Thank you for that lovely counsel. Now, how many times were you divorced? 18 times? I'm not picking on you. I'm kind of him. Not really. So there's no power in that secondhand revelation from God. There's a great story in the Bible. Jesus healed a blind man in John chapter 9. It begins by the disciples. Lord Jesus, tell us who sinned, this blind man or his family, in that he was born blind. He was born broken. Someone must have caused that. Jesus looked at him and says, what's wrong with you guys? He said, nobody sinned. This is a hurting person. It's important that we don't make casual, superficial, capricious judgments about people that are suffering as if they deserved it. Well, you must have done something. You must have opened the door to the devil, brother. You must have little faith. So it's important. And so Jesus said, no one sinned, but this happened so God's glory could be seen. And so anyways, he heals the blind guy. And then the blind man against the Sabbath, everyone's offended because he's healed on the Sabbath. And they're attacking him. There's something wrong with you when miracles offend your religious sensibilities. So if you can't celebrate someone's miracle because they got it differently than you think they should have got it, something's wrong with you, not them. So they're picking on those blind guys. Who are you? You were born in sin. And the Bible says, hey, everybody be quiet. One thing I know, I once was blind and now I see. Four or five times in my ministry, I've had someone come up, Pastor, you know, that speaking in tongues is just dangerous stuff. You just need to watch out. But what do you say back? I always say, I speak in tongues often for hours a day. Why? Because when I'm praying for the church, I have no idea what you need. Even when you tell me what you need, that's probably not what you really need. You with me? But when I pray in the Spirit, the mind of God is prayed over you. Whoo! Yeah. So it's important. A person with an experience is never at the mercy with a person who only has an argument. You can't argue me out of my experience. See, they're confronting the blind man. He said, hey dudes, I was blind this morning. I can see now. I'm sorry that offends your sensibilities. I'm sorry he did it on the Sabbath. But man, why can't you be happy for me? Why can't you be happy for me? Another great story. Jesus delivered in the book of Mark chapter 5, the demoniac at the Gadarenes. Gadarenes is a 10-city region. What a great story. The guy set free and sitting and clothed in his right mind after he tormented the region. No man could tame him. He lived in a tomb with darkness, oppressed by the agents of hell. And now he's set free. And he begs, Jesus, let me come and be your disciple. Jesus said, no, go tell your family and friends what great things the Lord has done for you and how God had compassion on you. And then that man evangelized the whole area. He departed from there and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. He could have gone. I used to make fun of my friends back when I was in going to seminary. Everybody, there was a, you know, like Tulsa was like Jerusalem, and everybody was going there to grow. And I thought, what about the rest of the nation? Some of the people that are enjoying the great spiritual rich environments of great places where God's moving need to go to other places, not just personally benefit. There comes a time when your testimony is too important to stay silent. There comes a time when God says to the light store, let's take some lights out into dark places. Okay, let's get the light shining out in the world and some places that really need to happen. That's God's grace to you. That's God's promise to you. That's God's faithfulness to you in your story. He's built your life to have a testimony. You are someone that's going to shake the world by the capacity of the Word of God in your story, by the testimony of Christ in your story. The fingerprints of God are all over your life. And as you recognize that and testify of it, when I was 12 years old, I was running. I used to run in a track and field. As a little boy, I used to run several miles a day. And I'm running through the desert, the Pima Indian Reservation, just east of Scottsdale, where we lived. I'm running through the desert on a pathway, and I collapsed. And I passed out, and I laid there unconscious for hours. And so my uncle happened, Uncle Wayne, just or Uncle Greg, just happened to be working in Mesa, and he wanted to see if he could cut across the reservation and find a way into our Scottsdale home. So he's going on this dirt road, unused dirt road, and he sees a body laying across it. He stops. It's me. And no doubt I would have died if he had not found me. And then my appendix had burst. It caused all kinds of complications. I'm in the hospital 6 weeks and came really close to death. Now, when I was young, I said, man, I got cheated. It took me, you know, physically, it took me a while to recover from that, athletically and all. But when I look back, I think, man, God stopped me from dying. The finger, God was with me. And if we're not careful, we miss the big thing because we're mourning the small thing. I missed summer basketball camp. Well, I'm alive. It's good to be alive. I think that's a good trade-off, you know. And so no matter what's happened, if you've been through something horrific, I'm so sorry you've gone through that, but look how God was with you. You survived it. You've overcome it. And I declare to you in this season that your testimony is about to unleash a new breakthrough, a new series of victories, healing, salvation, and miracles in your life and family, that you're going to see giants topple. The way we kill today's giant is to remind ourselves of yesterday's victories. The way we overcome today's challenges is by reminding ourselves of yesterday's victories in Christ, and he will help us. Okay, would you stand to your feet and let's worship God. God, we honor you. We worship you. We thank you for your faithfulness in our lives and in our journey and our story. God, thank you. You're so good. Come on. Can you think of a couple of things right now that God's done for you in your story that are just real? So I just want to, in closing, do a couple of things with you. So how many of you have watched God give you a family miracle concerning salvation? Or, you know, I had my miracle with Matthew. So if you've had a family miracle, wave your hand at me. So how many of you today need a family miracle? It's the same people, or some should be some different. So we just declare over you that what God's done for others to do for us. If God's if you're believing for a family miracle, just raise your hand. And if God's given you a family miracle, pray for someone right now. Just if their hand's raised, just help me pray for them. Father, we contend right now for the breakthrough of the revelation of Christ to every loved one. We claim the salvation of our homes, the restoration of faith, the healing of hearts, the healing of relationships, the healing of everything broken and hurting. We declare life and grace and a turnaround into our family stories. Thank you, God, for helping us in that part of our journey. In Christ's name. How many of you have God's healed you physically of a disease or a physical issue before? Wave your hand at me if you've been healed before. So how many of you need a healing today physically? So keep your hand raised. So if God's healed you before and someone has their hand raised right now, let's just jump on them and metaphorically just lay hands on their shoulder and say, in Jesus' name, God gave me a healing. God's going to give you a healing. Come on, just tell him, God healed me. He's going to heal you. God helped me. He's going to help you. God did it for me. He's going to do it for you. Come on, just declare it to him. What he's done for me, he's going to do for you. I declare to all my friends watching, what God's done for us, he's going to do for you. What God's done here, he's going to do there. What God's done in our story, he's going to do in your story, in Christ's mighty name. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, for your testimony, a new testimony. This is a year of new testimonies. This is a year of new territories. This is a year of new triumph. This is a year of new victories. This is the year of new breakthroughs. This is the year, a season in our lives where God's not done. The best is yet to come, and God's going to do amazing things.